My name's Kaudip. I'm one of the pastors, and we're going to continue to look at the verses from chapter 4 of Ephesians. We've covered the first six verses, so we're going to read from verse 7. That's page 826 as the blue Bibles come round. If you have a look in there, it'll be up behind me as well. The title I've given it is United and Unique. It might sound familiar to the Nojuanas, but it's slightly the other way around, I think. So it's United and Unique. Page 826, this is what it's, Ephesians 4, starting at verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God who became and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Father, we just thank you for your word. Pray you bless it to us in Jesus' name. Amen. The church, that's me and you, Southampton Lighthouse International Church, is Christ's passion. Did you know that? It's Christ's passion. He loves us so much. And he's building us up. And that building, that body, as we looked last week, requires lots of parts and lots of different gifts. And this passage, I hope as we look at it, as we read it, will challenge us to get up off our backsides and to be doing, to be serving him and play our part, whatever that might be. Nobody who's in the team of Jesus has a luxury to sit and cheer others on. No one has the gift or the ministry of watching on. Do you know why? Because I've looked and tried to find it. No one can sit there and just say, well done, you carry on. We're all part of the team and we're all expected to play our part in it. You know, just before we start looking at this and thinking more about it, it's really important to understand this, that the gospel of Jesus is not about what we can do for God, but it's about what God has done for us. That's really important. It's not buying our way into God's kingdom or favor. It's recognizing what he's already done for us. It's not about the work that you can do in the community. It's what Jesus has already done. That's what our faith is based on. And you know, when we find that faith, it fuels us. The gospel fires us up to serve him. We've been singing those songs this afternoon, Fire of God. You know, light the passion in our hearts again. All those words that we sing. But it's when we fall in love with Jesus and understand what he's done for us, we can do that. You know, when we realize what God has done, then there's something inside us that desires to play our part. We want to honor him with our time, with our talents, even with our treasure. Do you want to do that? Do you want to honor God with your time, talents, and treasure? This week, someone did that, but they honored God with their treasure. Someone gave £50,000 for the building's work next door. Isn't that good? Good. That's not to say that those that are given less haven't contributed either, but that's just exceptional, and we want to praise God for that. And that'll help us to get a bit more done in the coming months. So the first thing to recognize from this passage is that the giver of gifts is Jesus himself. Okay, Jesus is the giver of gifts. And it says this in the first few verses, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, He took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is also the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. You know, we often think about Jesus coming down. He did come down. He lived a perfect life. He died on that cross. He was buried. He was raised to life. And he ascended to heaven. And these verses refer to some verses in Psalm 68. And it talks about, it's a victory song that they're singing. And it's about when kings, if they went to battle and they won the battle, they'll bring back the spoils of war. And they'll say, look what we've got. It's a bit like if you want to think of Saints Football Club. We don't have many victories to support and celebrate. But I was around when in 76, they won their one and only FA Cup. And the whole city turned up. You know, they did a parade and a gathering at the Civic Centre. And they displayed the FA Cup. That's the only thing Saints have ever won. The Saints football team. And in that way, the kings of old used to bring back their spoils and say, this is what we want. But within that, there were also what you'd term these days prisoners of war, captives. They bring back people that have been caught, and they would be paraded to, not to say, you know, look what we want back, but just for gratefulness to God, what he had done. And what he's saying here, that we are those captives that Jesus came down to save. And as he ascends, as he's already ascended, we are in his victory trail. We will be following him there. There'll be celebration. Every time someone comes to the Lord, there's celebration in heaven. But there will be a parade. And it's him, the victor, the king, who not only does he win us back, but he also gives us gifts. Isn't that fantastic? He wins us and then he gives us gifts. In that verse 7, it says, but. That word but is linking it on to the last few verses, where it's talking about the oneness of the body, the unity that we have in God through Jesus and with the Holy Spirit living in us. We are united. We have one hope. We have one baptism. We have one faith because of what Jesus did. We are one, but unique. Each one of us has a different part to play in that body. Just like when you look at this body of mine, I'm using my legs and my feet to stand on. Then the rest of it, then I'm using my hands to wave about. I'm using this other hand to hold this mic. It's all united, enabling me to stand here. God has a unity within the body, but he also has different functions within that. Each one of us and the family receives a different gift, as the Father gives it through Jesus. You know, it's a bit like thinking about a snowflake. We've often heard that expression that each snowflake is different. There's no two identical ones. Each one of us is unique, and we have a unique contribution to make into the kingdom. Just in case you're not sure, just have a little look around. We're pretty different from one another, aren't we? Yeah? I hope so. So be encouraged. You know, when you meet a really odd Christian, there's a few around, you can say he is a unique contribution. But so are you. We are all unique contributions and have a unique contribution to make. You know, there's no body in God's planet that's the same. There's no two the same, even identical twins. Praise God. Praise God. This is the beauty of God's body. And the diversity that we have is its strength. You know, the fact we're different is good. We were sharing on Friday in the group leaders and team leaders how different Clive are. We're so different. Thank God. If there's two like Clive, or two Cordips. You know, in the body there's different parts, and we all have our unique place in that body. You know, for years it's been realized, you know, that each person has a unique thumbprint, haven't you? Have you done a thumbprint? Many of you have. Not when you were signing up to go inside, but, you know, when you're younger, before you could read at night, we've had to do things like that. But the parts of the body are different and have a different role to play. And each thumbprint, each eye print is different. There's different things to play. There's different roles for each one of us to play. There's different voice recognition. All these things are so much. We are totally a bit different. The further you go, the more you realize how unique we all are. We all have a unique history. You know, where we were born, where we were brought up, how we came to the Lord. You know, we heard the bizarre way on Monday that Sam Sharma came to the Lord. It's bizarre, wasn't it? I'm sure there's hardly anyone that's ever come to the Lord like that. Probably no one. And for us, there might be similarities in the stories, but they'd be different because of our background. So there's a uniqueness within us. And because of that, God has a different function for us. There is oneness in God's body. As we said, there's the one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is over all and through all. So we are one, but in all, we also have a different part to play. You know, unity that exists within us doesn't mean we have to be the same. It's really important to recognize that. As I already said, the diversity that we have, the differences that we have, give us our strength. And to specialize in those differences helps the body as a whole. Just one example, you know, you've seen these guys at the front. They've specialized in the gifts God's given them. They've stood there, they're able to play the instruments or sing, and they're enable the rest of the body to worship God in the way that we've done. Each one of us has been gifted, and it's been gifted by Jesus. You know, I just love that thought. It's Jesus who's given us presence. It's God who's given us presence. We've had no input into that. We've not had any choice. We've not said, I want this. He allows us to ask. He doesn't always give us what we ask, but he's gifted us in a particular way. You know, just like when you were born, you don't have any choice about the color of your hair or the color of your eyes. Have some of you wanted different color eyes? Have you? Have you? Put your hands up if you wanted different color eyes. There was a fashion to get contact lens, wasn't there? I mean, that's gone. I think if I could change anything about me, I'd like to be a little bit taller. But, you know, that's not within my control. But God has gifted us with special things, has made us different to play our part in the body. Do you know, this is really sad, there's too many people that have been made a hand, but spend all their lives wishing they were the mouth. There's also too many people who were absolutely perfectly made to be the ear, but really they've always wanted to be the eye. It's very sad when that happens. And I'd say if you're one of those people, and we all have things within us which cause us to be envious or whatever, I'd say repent. That's the only word to say. If you've been thinking like that, feeling like that, repent. Ask God to forgive you, because he's gifted you in a very special way. And it's really good to recognize that whatever he's given is good. You know, some people give gifts and you think, oh no. Other people give gifts and you want to open them quickly and find out what it is, because you don't know what it might be. I knew this envelope with £50,000 was coming, and I was so keen to get there and open it. But you know, it's God. It's God who's given gifts. Whatever they may be, it's him. And for us to look at others and envy them for that is not right. So what do we do with these gifts? The first thing is avoid the trap of being envious. Avoid the trap. Don't look at others and think, wish I had that. Sadly, I still feel that when I go to restaurants, no matter what I order, I wish I had that person's meal because it looks better. But in terms of our gifts, don't think that anymore. Start using whatever the Lord has given you for him. I'm sure there's questions bubbling up within you, but what has he given me? What has he given me? You know, I remember asking that question myself as a teenager, thinking, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? And I really prayed about it. I didn't just think, what can I do, and try to think what it was. I can't remember exactly how it happened. It might have been a word or from the Lord or something in prophecy. word of knowledge that someone gave. And the Lord just said, open your eyes and see what needs doing. Open your eyes and see what... I remember that so clearly. In fact, I was so excited. I walked a few miles to see a friend of mine, a Christian friend of mine, that had taken me to church and tell him. I said, this is what God said to me. And then, you know, when you receive that revelation, that understanding, then what do you do with it? I could have said, yeah, that needs doing. That's good. That needs doing. That's good. But no, I just got stuck in. And anything I could do, I got myself involved in. So some of the things I did, I started helping in a youth club. In fact, I started one. Then I started helping with open air. We used to go in this area, a few of us, and stand on a corner and start telling people about Jesus. So there's a couple of us started doing that. Then I got asked to lead a home group. Then I got asked to do the books. Oh my goodness. That was not my gift. It's because I worked in the bank. They thought, oh, he should know figures. That was not my gift. I soon found out and gave that back. But I opened my eyes and started to do things that I could do and see need doing. There were things I was asked to do which I didn't enjoy very much, but I thank God that I was able to do them. So God, through Jesus, gifts us uniquely, and he gives us gifts that we can use. You know, just the fact that we are born again into God's kingdom once we've accepted Jesus, he transforms our thinking even about our natural abilities. We can submit everything we have to him. You know, we don't have to wait for a zapping of God to give us a gift, particularly, you know, these bigger ones that we long for. He can, and he does. But we can start employing whatever he has for his glory. There's so many things he's given us just naturally that we can just submit to him. But in his hands, and because our hearts are different and we're doing it for his glory, they take on a different meaning. We're saved by grace, but we're then able to put these gifts into operation. Jesus also gives us, I can never say this word, but particular gifts, his specific gifts, yeah, to his church. But particular gifts. So carries on to say, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Jesus calls certain people to certain areas of building the body. Now, if you think about these gifts, there's several other lists, and you can look at those for yourself. Then 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. You can look at them. But these particular ones are to equip. In other words, to help others to perform what God wants them to do. Okay? Remember this, it's to help others to do that. You know, very often we can say, oh, Clive's the one who goes out getting people to the Lord. It's his job. We can say that. But God has put people in place to help others to be built up, to be encouraged, to be doing. Before we look at some of these in a little bit more detail, it's really important to understand that. Okay, these are equipping gifts. In other words, they enable others to do what they have been called to do that better. And what Paul lists here, who himself was an incredibly gifted man, you know, he was a terror to the Christians before he became a Christian, but then equally he became such an advocate for the Lord that he transformed Europe. That one man on fire for God transformed Europe. But if you look at his life, he also did things like tent making. You know, he could do that as well, to make ends meet. He did that. But as soon as he could get out of it, because his passion was to tell people about Jesus, he would do that when others could support him. He says in this passage here, he talks about apostles and prophets. Now, the apostles, these are people who are sent out, on mission, basically sent on mission. And in the way it's talking about it in this passage here, are those that the Lord appointed, the 12. And then later on, Paul was grafted in. And the qualification for these people was that they were directly chosen by Jesus. And there were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus when he died and he rose again. These were the apostles. And Paul didn't physically see him, but the Lord met him, as you know. And he too was appointed an apostle. Every letter that he writes, he starts off with mentioning his office. And in that way, that office is closed. Okay, that position is gone and is closed. But very often Christians use that term, and it just simply means someone sent on a mission, if you hear that word. They're not apostles in the sense that this is talking about here. The office of prophet is very similar. And there were people that God had appointed, who God revealed his secrets to, and it was written down in God's word, and it's recorded in the Bible. And these were the chosen mouthpiece of God. They had an office which is also, in that sense, closed. Because we don't add any more to the Bible. It's done. But there is, however, there is the ongoing gift of prophecy, and thank God for that. You know, we've been blessed by it over the years from different ones, and God has granted that. But these are people who God gives foreknowledge. They see a little bit earlier. They see things sooner, further, clearer than we would. And actually in the Bible, Paul tells us in Corinthians that this is the gift to seek. And I still pray about being able to prophesy. I still do that. I haven't given up. Maybe the Lord will use me one day. I've never had a prophecy, but the Lord has used me in different ways. But I still pray that God will use me, because he tells us to do that. Any time a person says they have a prophecy, the Bible tells us we're to test it. We don't say, okay, great, and then shoot off and, you know, leave our jobs and wives and kids and go to wherever it might be. But we need to test it. Test it by prayer, see what the word says, see if it lines up with the word. Nothing that comes from God will contradict his word. If someone gives you a prophecy and it contradicts what the word says, don't believe it. Okay? Don't believe it. And so these two offices are closed. In Ephesians 2:20, this is only one other verse I'm going to look at that's outside these ones. It says this, Ephesians 2:20 says, consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and are members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles, prophets, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. Christ is the cornerstone, but the foundation is the teachings that the apostles gave and the prophets gave, that our lives and the church is built on. And we don't relay the foundation, because that's been laid. Then you have the evangelists. Now, this is a very seriously misunderstood position, and it's quite sad what the TV guys have done to this post. They're ridiculed. All they seem to be doing is asking for money, sadly. But it's a very serious place that God... it's a very serious and high calling that God places on people's lives. There are people who God chooses and especially anoints still today who speak a very simple message from the Bible. People hear it and thousands get saved. It happens around the world. Probably one of the best known ones currently is someone called Billy Graham. I'm sure we've all heard of him. He's going to be 100 next year. I found out. And he's spoken in front of over 200 million people. 200 million in 185 countries. This is not including radio, TV, or the books that people have read that he's written. This is just where he's been, and these people have attended. 200 million. One of those people that got saved through his ministry was George Verver, we saw a few months back. George got saved, and he himself, he's in the 200 club, isn't he? 100, is it? He's preached to over 100 million. George, you came a couple of months ago. 100 million. And they've seen ministry spark up they don't even know about through what God has done for them. They're an incredible gift to the church. And you know, Billy Graham wasn't always an evangelist. He started off as a pastor. And he did this, that, and the other, but as his gift grew and it was matured, he was able to be released and to begin to preach the way he's done. You know, some of these things you hear about the thing, even this post, you think, well, how on earth could I ever be that? Are you sharing your faith with your friends? Are you telling people about Jesus? This is an evangelist with a little e. You know, when I first came to the Lord, I couldn't stop telling people. It got me trouble with my mum and dad to start with. It got Serge in trouble. She wasn't allowed to go out of the house because she was going to church, and they stopped her. Used to get in discussions with my teachers, with my schoolmates, because I couldn't help but tell people God had done something inside me. You know, we can all be that, and maybe God will fire us up, and we may be the Billy Grahams of the future. Who knows? It's God chooses. God determines. God gifts. God enables. God opens up opportunities. But these people, these ones that I talked about with a biggie, I guess, the people that are pioneering, they preach the word, people are born into God's kingdom. And once they're born, they mature, they're nurtured and they mature. Pray, share, ask God's help to be equipped better. Once they're saved, then the pastors and the teachers kick in. So I think someone once said it's like people that go out to catch lions. You know, they catch the lion and then they bring it to those that tame them. You know, they catch a lion, the tamers are the pastors and the teachers. So we are lion tamers. But you know, if you read that passage, it says, going back to it, it talks about it's God who gifts these people to the church. Did you realize that I'm a gift to you? Is it one you want to not have so much? Oh, thank you. That makes me feel better. The word pastor simply means shepherd. And it's, we have the great shepherd, Jesus. We're pastors, shepherds with a small s. Jesus referred to people like sheep without a shepherd. You know, it's not good when churches don't have people that shepherd them. It's God's desire that sheep have people that feed them. It's God's desire that people that teach them and lead them. And it's a pastor's role to help equip and strengthen and encourage and build up the church. Yeah? So there's apostles, there's prophets, there's evangelists, there's pastors and teachers. And there's other lists in those chapters I mentioned for you to look up. But the purpose of those is to help everyone. And this is what it says from verse 12. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Where the role of these people is to equip the church for works of service. It's important to understand that we, as a church, we're all on the front line. Just coming back to the thought I started earlier, we're all ministers in this room. You know, when I sign a form and someone says, will you do my passport? I put Christian minister down. I mean, the passport people may not like it, but you could all legitimately, before God, sign Christian minister. We're all ministers for God. We're all servants of his. No one is exempt from that. If you're in the Lord, you're a minister of the Lord. In other words, you're a servant. You're his servant. God is not our servant, but we're his servant. We are called to works of service so that the world may be reached with the gospel. That is our mission. That is our mission. We've recently put together a new mission statement for the church, and it says to love God. That's revolutionary, isn't it? To love God and to be family together. United, we are a family, we're one family. And to reach the world around us for Jesus. Now, I can't reach the world around you because I don't know your world. And you can't reach the world around me for Jesus because you don't know my world. But we can reach our world for Jesus. That's the service to which God has called us, that we reach the world. You know, God has blessed us and continues to bless us with this building. God's going to fill it one day. That's why he's given it to us. He gave us this 11 years ago, and it's full. He's going to fill that. He may take longer. He may take less time. But he's going to fill it. But as we act out, as we play our part in the body, as we look to him, as we ask him, as we pray to him, you know, Paul says we're united. We're one Lord, we're one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father. We're serving one Jesus. It's his mission field. We have the unity of faith. But we also have our part to play in it. You know, unity of vision and purpose with Christ as the head will help us to work better and stronger. If we're united in that mission, we'll work better together. Paul keeps on using this image of the body because we are one. What you do, what I do, has an impact. There's nothing that happens to your body that the rest of it doesn't know. You know, we heard last week, if you stub your toe, your little toe, your smallest toe that is the furthest part of your body, if it hurts, the rest of it knows about it. But we as a body, as church, as we work and play our part together, we'll be able to reach the world together in that way. God wants us to grow up in our ministry, whatever we have, to grow and to flourish in there. He wants us to be built together. You know, as a teenager, some of you may be there now, there might be a few. You know, as your body grows, it suddenly sometimes can shoot off in a particular way, or in, you say it's growing pains. And it feels disjointed. You quite often hear about footballers, they say, oh, he's still growing. And he's so big already, but he's still growing because he hasn't fully matured. And this sometimes happens in the church. Things grow out of proportion because it's not quite in sync. Also, this happens in old age. And this is not what it's talking about, by the way. Just because you got older doesn't mean you're mature. What it's saying, the idea of maturity is to be a fully developed person in the Lord, body, mind, and spirit. You know, God wants his church to grow up. He wants us to play the part that each one of us has. Not to run away and do our own thing, but as together, with that mission of wanting to reach the world around us, that we do whatever part it takes. You know, there's lots of jobs in church that we are part of doing, and thank you for all those that do that. But the bigger mission of it all is actually to reach the world around us. And as people come among us, you know, last times when we've had people come in, people watch what we do together. And they say, isn't that lovely how you all work together? They might not know all the difficulties we've had getting to that point, but they see something and it's wonderful. The more we work together, the more we grow. And it, not just on the surface, but deeply. You know, God wants us to be deeply in love with him and with one another, caring for each other. If someone is missing, we find out why they're missing. If someone's unwell, we find out why they're unwell. As we do that, we grow together as one and become one. You know, God's given us presence. Have you opened your present and seen what he's given you? Are you looking for God to help you find that what that is? Keep asking and praying, but also try out things. Try, if you've never tried things that you think the Lord is leading you into, come and talk if you want help with that. If you want prayer, come and help. We will willing to help. You know, Christ is... whatever he's given you, he's given it out of his love because he knows us and understands us. It's sometimes a mystery why he gives different ones different things. But he does it because it's for our good and he knows best. We need to start and understand that God has put us in a very special place. He doesn't give just anyone these gifts. It's those that he's loved, he's called, he's seated us in a place that is special. And he wants us to be part of his body. We are his body. He wants us to keep in that body. And he wants us to use whatever we have for his glory. Let's pray together. You know, as we close our eyes, you maybe never thought what part the Lord has for you in the body. It's good just to give it a moment this today. Pray in your heart, Lord, what do you want me to do? What part do I have to play? Am I a hand, a foot, a finger, a toe, whatever it is? What is it you want me to do? And it's good to quieten our hearts and just ponder for a moment or two and ask God. If you've never tried to just serve the Lord in a way that's simple but you're capable of, maybe you've backed out, couldn't be bothered, whatever it might be, I'd say turn from that, ask the Lord to forgive you. Realize that there's no one in this body of Christ, this part of the body of Christ here that belongs to him, is without a function, without a use. Everyone is important. No one who's part of Lighthouse, whose church it is here by accident. God wants you here. He has a place for you. He's got work for you. And it's work only you can do. You know, as we serve with the things that God has naturally given, he gifts us with things that we maybe never have imagined. Things that we never even thought of. The Lord says we are faithful with small things. He will trust us with bigger things. Father, I just thank you for everyone that you put in Lighthouse, every single person that you've added. Lord, thank you for our diversity in so many ways. Such differences, Lord, backgrounds, cultures, religions. But you've made us one body in Christ for this time, for here, for now. Father, I pray that you'll help us each to see our place and, Lord, to function in it, to thrive in it, no matter what it might be. Father, may it all be for your glory. Not for any personal, not even for Lighthouse, but for the glory of Jesus. It's his church. Father, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want prayer, there will be the prayer team here.